welcome to another edition of Feral and Fabulous. I have, as always, a most fabulous guest here today. I have Gary Somo with Goosehead Insurance Company, and I have known Gary for a long, long time, and he is an amazing insurance guy and just all-around good guy in general.
Well, so, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you
so much. Happy to have you on today, and have a lot of different things that I'd like to talk to you about while we're letting the tequila settle in.
Okay.
We've just done a shot of Platinum Patron, and it is definitely settling in and making this a much, much better day already. So I'm looking forward to this conversation. One of the things I wanted to ask you is, obviously, insurance, I feel like, has been a really hot topic, particularly in the last couple of years. I mean, it's always been a hot topic because everybody's got to have insurance, at least as far as I can tell. Everybody needs insurance. And if they don't, they'll find out it's a problem when they don't have it and they need
it, right?
So what I'd like to maybe talk about is, in the last couple of years, I do believe there has been some shifts, kind of considerable shifts in insurance in Texas, particularly. And I wanted to see if you could maybe talk a little bit about what have the shifts in the last couple of years been?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, one of the things that we're seeing in insurance is that there's a couple of things. One is that some carriers have left the state.
Right.
And so as they leave the state of Texas, the carriers that are left, they raise their rates because there's less options, less competition.
Sure.
So we've seen some of that.
Yeah.
We've also seen more natural disasters. So, you know, not just hurricane, but hail and some other things that are affecting rates because their claims ratios are a lot higher than they were just even 10 years ago.
Is that why a lot of the carriers are leaving Texas? Is because we are prone to a lot of different natural disasters?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're in to make money. And so some of these carriers just have not been able
to. Insurance companies are in it to make money? Oh my gosh, that's revolutionary. Wow, that you just made the podcast interesting right there. what a concept.
Yeah. So, you know, they there's other places they can write business in the United States that are a lot more profitable. And that's the bottom line. So they're leaving Texas because really the sweet spot in Texas is Central Texas.
Okay.
Because North Texas has hail.
Yes.
The coast obviously has hurricanes and weather.
Absolutely.
Central Texas, you know, in some parts of West Texas are the primary areas that they want business in because that's where they can make most money.
Right. And where does San Antonio fall? Do we fall in what you...
Right. Yep.
Call Central Texas?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, fabulous.
Yep.
I'm glad at least San Antonio falls in the right part of the spot of Texas.
Yeah, so we're seeing claims ratios. We're also seeing repairs are jumped up in costs, in general.
Right.
Labor, materials.
Right.
So because of that, you know, that's driving the rate. And so with all those things happening, you know, if you go back to 2021 when the big freeze happened.
Yes.
And when happened, that was the number one time frame for claims in Texas. So there were more claims during that time frame than any other time.
Oh, really?
So, yes, because we had so many freezes and pipes burst, those kind of things. So that's when the carriers decided, hey, this is not a great place for us to be. They started leaving. So
You know, so that was kind of the
impetus.
That
was a start. Yeah, that was a start.
Okay.
So then after that, that's when less carriers, you know, rates went up. And in some cases, Kim, rates were going up 50, 60% over the last year. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, the average premium might be $2,000 and now it's $3,000.
Right.
So,
and
people are still adjusting to that. And in the business, I mean, it's made it tougher for people to purchase homes because they have got to factor in all of a sudden another $50 a month.
100%.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree with you. I do feel like the insurance piece has become a more critical piece of the equation that you really have to pay attention to. And so that's why it's so important that I feel like we have somebody that's knowledgeable like you are to talk to the consumer and explain what the different type of options are. So given the fact that the insurance has gone up and we understand more or less why it's gone up, how do you counsel a particular buyer or consumer when they're going to be placing insurance? Like, do you talk to them about, are there things that they can do about changing the coverage, or are there things that you can do about maybe changing the deductible, or both? Or how do you go about doing that?
It's a great question. So, I mean, what I start with is we write a policy at replacement because that's important to the client. You want to make sure that the house can be replaced if there's an incident that a total loss, right?
Right, right.
So that's number one.
To put it back to what it
that's
was.
That's right, that's okay. Right. Now, deductibles can vary.
Yeah.
So most lenders allow us to go up to a 5% deductible.
Okay.
Even though the typical deductible is 1%. So
right.
We can move those to 2 or 3 or even higher.
And when you talk about percentages like 1% and 5%, it's 1% or 5% of what?
Of the coverage amount.
Okay, that's what I wanted to just clarify because a lot of times people are they're confused on what exactly is the percentage based on.
So yeah, it's that can vary depending on the coverage. So a lot of the carriers now in Texas have a minimum 2% wind hail deductible, which limits us even further in getting a client the right coverage because 2%, so if you have a $500,000 home, that's a $10,000 deductible.
Right.
2%. So, you know, that's one of the issues is
I'm impressed. You're doing very good math on tequila. Just saying.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we're dealing with, you know, deductibles, but we're also dealing with, there's a lot of other coverages that are optional, like water coverages. And so those are the things that we can move around a little bit to get the premium where we want it to be.
Okay.
So there's some non-negotiables. Replacement has to be a replacement. So those things are important.
Yes.
Water coverages are optional.
Okay.
And, you know, when we talk about water coverages in the state of Texas, there's 4 different water coverages. There's sudden accidental water, which pretty much comes on every policy.
Okay.
Then we've got water backup, which is an option.
Okay. And what is water backup?
Water backup would be if a commode or if a drain backs up in the house and causes damage.
Okay.
So it's different than sudden and accidental, which is
understood.
Automatic. Yeah.
Okay.
Then you've got foundation water coverage.
Okay.
Which is if the foundation shifts and the plumbing in the foundation breaks, then that's a different endorsement that has to be option on the policy.
Got it. Okay.
And then the final one is seepage and leakage, which is basically, if there's a leak that is not discovered for a while, and then the plumber opens up the wall and says, this has been leaking for 3 months. Well, that's seepage and leakage.
Got it.
Which is a different endorsement. So those things add cost.
Sure.
But it's really up to the client on how they want to protect their home.
Sure.
The thing that's driving rates is roof age.
Right.
That's really
You're like Karnak the Magnificent because I already had that as a question to ask you because I feel like the roof has been the biggest thing that I've noticed has really kind of interfered with putting policies together.
That's right. So typically carriers will look at the roof, and the newer the roof, the lower the premium.
Right.
So that's pretty much it, right? So if the roof
And that's regardless of the house age, is it really just the roof age
Does
it?
So if a house is 20 years old, but the roof has been replaced, then that's going to be great.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
Okay.
Now, age of the home comes into play a little bit.
I knew that.
So because of that, it could drive rates. And then claims that are happened to be on the home or on that client can affect the rate too. So,
yeah. I want to talk a little bit about that because I think a lot of people don't understand. In fact, I just had this happen recently, and you can maybe speak to it. I had a listing where the buyer, they were from out of the country. Anyway, they were buying the home cash, but they were looking to put insurance. And again, I was representing the seller. This is just the buyer's agent that I was speaking to. And she was trying to figure out, they were talking to insurance people, trying to get an estimate on, you know, what it was going to cost to insure it. And then they wanted to know, we want to use the same company that the seller is using. And what they didn't understand is that insurance, and this is something I'd like you to kind of speak to, insurance is a combination of not only the buyer that's purchasing the home, but it's also the history of the home.
That's
right.
Correct. That's correct.
And so people don't understand that just because a seller may have an insurance policy, it's based on their credit score, their, you know, financial situation, and also the history of the home that they're living in.
Correct. So some claims follow you.
Okay.
And so here's the thing. Weather-related claims are not treated the same as any other claims.
Okay.
So weather-related claims could be hail. It could be weather.
Flooding?
Any kind of, well, no, flooding is different because flooding is a separate policy.
Of course.
That's a separate policy.
Yes.
So if it's a weather-related claim, then that generally—
Like a lightning strike?
That's right.
Okay.
So the carriers don't really hold you accountable so much for weather-related claims because you don't have any control.
Exactly.
Right? Now, if you have a water claim or a fire or anything that causes damage that could be preventable, then yes, you're held accountable. So those follow you around. Unlike auto insurance, where auto insurance, they drop off after a certain time. With a home, they don't drop. So it could follow you forever that maybe you had a theft. Maybe you had.
Really? Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So as those things populate on your CLUE report or the report,
yes, yes,
then that is going to affect the rate.
Okay. No, and, I totally, yeah. I want to get into that a little bit about the CLUE report, but I real quick want to ask you, what all do you provide insurance on?
Well, the home insurance,
okay,
it protects the home. It also protects personal property inside the home,
okay,
and also liability. So okay, if somebody gets hurt on right, the property, then you're protected right, from lawsuits or anything that can happen. So insurance encompasses water claims, fire, theft, anything that could happen.
And that's homeowners insurance, right? And then what other types of insurance do you cover?
Well,
do you
flood. You mentioned flood. Yeah. So flood is always a separate policy.
Sure.
And the only time that it's required is if you're in a flood zone.
Right.
As FEMA sees it. Right.
Right. So exactly. And that can change over time.
It does change.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
FEMA changes the flood zones. So if you're in a flood zone, that generally that flood insurance costs a little bit more than if you're not. Now, it doesn't mean you'll never flood if you're not in a flood zone. So a lot of people, they think, well, I'm not in a flood zone, I shouldn't have to worry. Well, I've seen many homes flood.
That's why they changed the flood zone from time to time,
right,
because
that's
it
right,
wasn't
things
in the
things
flood
change
zone,
that's
and
right,
then you got flooded, so then yeah, they changed it. So
flood, they define flood as any kind of water that's coming up from the ground, up into the house from
okay,
the ground.
Sure.
So different than a water claim. So if a pipe bursts, that's different. That's plumbing. If water comes up into the house because it's just raining and the water finally comes up into the house,
sure,
you're not protected unless you have a flood policy.
I gotcha. No, understood. Yeah. That's an important difference. Yes. Yeah, it's a difference to make.
It's a difference, yeah. And some people carry flood insurance just because it's peace of mind and they know that floods happen occasionally and rivers overflow and dikes break, you know, things happen. So flood is always a good idea because generally you can protect a $500,000 home for $400 a year.
Right.
So it's not that expensive.
Right. Exactly.
Considering that you're protecting, you know,
a home for
$500.
Understood. You know, understood. Yeah. How about automotive insurance?
Well, automotive insurance is on the way up too. And that's driven by repair costs, technology. I mean, think about it, Kim. The bumpers nowadays have all these sensors and cameras, right?
I know.
And so you have a little fender bender.
And it's crazy expensive
to fix, right? Fender benders
are
very expensive.
Right.
So, I mean, most vehicles are much more expensive than they were, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
I know.
So you're looking at, repair costs are higher. And then also, you know, claims ratios in certain zip codes. So,
right,
for instance, you know, the city of San Antonio, the rates are a little higher than if you're living in a rural area where there's less cars, less traffic.
Right.
The less chance that you'll have an accident with another car.
Right.
So sometimes zip code makes a difference.
Right.
But those accidents follow you for generally 5 years.
Okay. I was
speeding
curious.
Tickets, 3 years. So
how many years?
Three.
Okay.
3 years. Yeah.
I'm asking for a friend.
For a friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
not as my insurance agent. Right. I'm just asking for a friend because I have a lot of friends that like to drive fast.
Yes. So a lot of carriers, those drop off over time. So time heals that and, you know, you get a better rate. But you mentioned credit. Credit, and people don't realize credit comes into play on insurance rates.
I'm so glad you're talking about this
yes,
because I don't think the typical consumer understands that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they think the rate is the rate is the rate.
Oh, no.
Regardless of what their credit score is, because they associate credit scores with the interest rate on purchasing a home, mm-hmm, but they don't understand that it also impacts
right,
their ability to insure a property as well, or the cost to insure
absolutely,
a property.
Big difference. So, you know, when you have, that's why we talk about bundles so often.
Right.
Because
you've already picked off another item on my list of things to ask you about bundling.
Well, I mean, bundles make a difference because you can actually have a big time discount if you bundle home and auto together.
Right.
But those accidents and credit. So when you talk about credit, generally from what I've read, they tell us that people with higher credit they take less risk. And
okay,
so they're maybe a better fit for some insurance carriers because they say, well, these people have less risk. You know, I don't know how much truth there is, but that's what they've told us.
In my case, I would question that, but
yeah, I don't know.
I'm just saying.
I don't know, that happens all the time, but yeah. And so rates are on the rise And I would say that auto rates might be even higher than home rates across the board.
Interesting.
They've gone up quite a bit too. So, you know, and that's generally across the whole state.
Can you talk a little bit about, I'm talking about automotive now, because I've noticed that depending on where you live, it can really impact yes. how much your
yes.
auto rates are.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, I mean, obviously, urban areas are more expensive because there's more cars, more chance of accidents. And
right.
so it's by zip code.
Right.
So
exactly.
I mean,
the more densely populated, yes, yes. it's going to potentially be higher because
that's
there's
correct.
More people that yep. are going to be navigating.
The big thing that I see, honestly, Kim, is young drivers. So when you're a young couple, a parent,
yes.
and you have a 16-year-old driver
yes.
that you want to add as a, and by the way.
Yeah, you have to take out the yeah. a big loan right. on that.
And most times, even if you don't tell the insurance carrier that they're there at the house, they find out.
Right.
Because the minute they apply for a driver's license, they get a note back sent to the carrier
yeah.
saying, hey, by the way, there's somebody who's 16.
Yes. That just got
yes.
their license.
Yes. You can't hide it anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And
yep.
and people try and avoid that. But
yeah.
it's like, hello,
right.
they're
right.
going to find out.
So, I mean, in some cases, adding a young driver can add $200 or $300 a month.
Yeah, understood.
And it's nuts. I mean, because
yeah.
people aren't ready for it. And
yeah.
most of the time I'm talking to clients and they're telling me, I can't afford $200-$300. I mean, I can't do it.
I know.
And so I tell him, keep.
And I've heard it's even more if it's a young male. Is that
well,
right or not
males
necessarily?
Males can be higher, particularly below 25 years old.
That's what
absolutely.
I mean, like a
yes.
16-year-old
yes.
male.
Yep.
I've heard that can
yes.
really, like, I
yes.
had a friend the other day that was saying, like, her policy went up like $500. And I was like, that's crazy.
Well, first of all, your friend needs to call me.
Of course, I will but. Have her call you. But no, I'm serious. She said that. And I was like,
you know, here's the thing, and this is a good time to bring this up. Today, we're in an environment where you have to have a broker that is willing to shop your insurance at least once a year.
Yes.
Home and auto.
Yes.
So if you don't have that, you're paying too much.
Yes.
Because in the old days, you know,
yes.
it used to be you could stay with Allstate for 10, 15 years and be fine because, you know, that was the best price.
Sure.
But today, those things are different. So, you know, what you have to have somebody that's willing to shop it. And, you know, I'm a broker, so I write business with 38 different carriers.
Love it.
So everybody from Liberty Mutual, Safeco, Progressive. I mean, obviously everybody.
Sure.
So usually I find the best rate.
Right.
And that's key today because people have to, you have to shop it.
Exactly. And not everybody's needs are the same.
Right.
So I feel like
right.
who you broker it to one person is
yep.
not necessarily going to be the best person for somebody else.
Well, you're exactly right. And also I have access to carriers that some people don't have access to.
Right.
That write in certain areas. Like you and I have talked about the coast before.
Yes.
And homes at the coast
I wanted
and how
to
expensive.
You're just
is.
Going down my list.
Yeah.
I don't even have to look at my questions
because
you're just already
just
touching
know,
on all, everything.
I've known you a long time and I know that when you had the home at the coast.
Yeah.
I mean, you and Dave were even saying, what's going on? I mean, how could it be so expensive? And I said, yeah, but that's it. So, you know, anything that's in a area that they call tier one, which is coastal area, is going to be more expensive.
It was literally on the beach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's why, because of the hurricane activity that they've seen in the past. You know, speaking of that, Monday, we just started hurricane season.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. Just past Monday. So, you know, technically, this is the time we should be seeing some activity in the Gulf and you know, potentially in the you know, at the coast. So,
and I always, for whatever reason,
yeah.
I mean, even though we did sell that coastal property
right,
that you're
right.
talking about, I still have, and I have a lot of clients and good friends that mm-hmm. own property at the coast, you know, that
right,
I
right.
sold them. So I, for whatever reason, I do start paying attention
mm-hmm.
typically in June. I couldn't remember exactly
yeah.
what day it was,
yep.
but I know it runs like June through November.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And
that's right.
And I know that the worst months are usually like August, September,
yes.
something like
yeah.
that
in
terms
heat
of the
summer.
In
yep.
the heat of the summer, it's
yep.
it, you're more likely to have a
yeah.
you know, a worse hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
But I know through going through that process with you that it was so great because you were super good about informing us, even though we didn't necessarily like
yeah.
what we were hearing.
Right.
It still was super helpful to understand why it was happening and what was happening.
Well, and in some cases, people and, you know, clients will call me and say, hey, I want to buy a home at the coast, but I want to use it for rental or short-term rental or
yeah.
Airbnb, whatever.
Yeah.
And then they're surprised because, you know, it can be, and you know this in some cases, $4,000 or $5,000 a year for insurance if you're going to put a short-term rental in it. So it's a big it's a big piece to their profitability to understand the insurance on something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. For any, and I, as you know, I have several clients that own properties as short-term rentals in Port Aransas and, you know, all the surrounding little cities down there. And that to me, if you don't understand the insurance piece, you need to go back to the drawing board, because that's a huge part of what your expenses are going to be in owning a property down there.
A lot of people underestimate what the cost will be. And then a lot of lenders do too.
I know.
So I deal with lenders that come to me and say, hey, I was expecting it to be $2,500. And I'm like, maybe in 1985.
Exactly.
But today things are different.
Exactly. Yeah.
So now you're looking at, and you, like, you know, the state of Texas has created TWIA, which is a Texas Windstorm Insurance Agency, which basically allows us to write a policy sponsored by the state of Texas for wind that wouldn't be somewhere where we couldn't find it somewhere else.
Right.
In a private sector. So we oftentimes now, most insurance agents will write a small home policy and then bundle it with a wind policy through TWIA.
Okay.
And that seems more affordable.
Okay.
Still expensive.
Understood.
But more affordable.
More affordable.
Yep.
Can you talk a little bit about, you mentioned it earlier, I want to know about doing riders to a policy. And by riders, I mean like a jewelry rider or a, you know what I mean? Can you talk a little bit about that? Because a lot of people, sometimes my clients ask me, should I do a rider? Should I do? And sometimes, obviously, it's just best to just have them talk to you,
and
because
that's where,
is it very personalized on what makes sense?
It really is. So, I mean, when you talk about riders, most people have jewelry or things that are appraised at some value, and they want to schedule those items on their home insurance, because if they get stolen or destroyed in a fire, you want to make sure that they're getting a replacement with the same value.
Right.
So, for instance, if you had just a baseball card that, you know, we had no idea what the value was, and it was burned in the fire, and it was worth $20,000, let's say, well, I mean, nobody's going to give you $20,000 for a card that's not been appraised or scheduled. So while your home insurance covers your personal property at replacement, it doesn't, it covers that at what the average cost is,
not what
a particular specific item is. Yes.
Okay.
So most of the time, if you come to me and say, hey, I have a Rolex or I have a diamond ring that's that's valued at a higher amount, I'm going to ask for an appraisal or a receipt that shows the value, and then and then we're going to use that to schedule that item.
Right.
And then if that item comes up missing, or let's say it's stolen or damaged, then we can get that same value back.
Right.
Yeah. So
how much of a problem, and I didn't even talk to you about this beforehand, but how much of a problem is it where people try and scam their insurance about doing riders, and then they magically go missing because they just want the money? I know that's...
Well, it's a good question, Kim, and I'll tell you this. So one of the things that most people don't realize is insurance fraud is probably one of the biggest problems that we're facing in the United States in the insurance industry.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that. Yeah. You and I have never really talked about this.
No, we've never talked about this, but, you know, we get a lot of information as insurance agents about fraud, because obviously integrity is very important for us.
Absolutely.
In terms of being an agent, and we're licensed with the state of Texas, Texas Department of Insurance, but... You know, there's a lot of fraud that happens, and people, and, you know, a lot of times in auto insurance fraud.
Yeah, I wondered that too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, big time. So, you know, if you commit insurance fraud, most of the time it's a felony, and so you're in trouble. So, but it happens. So,
do you ever have, like, is there a system where you can kind of see that, okay, this person has had a previous claim of X amount?
Absolutely.
And doesn't that raise a red flag on maybe they would be likely to do it again?
Yes. So if you have a claim, like I told you before, it's going to follow you, right? So if you have a theft claim, for example, and you say, well, I had a theft, and that's fine. Yeah. And then that's going to follow you. And so a lot of carriers today, they have hard limits on what they will and won't take. So for instance, if you had two thefts in 5 years, that might be enough for a carrier to say, we're passing.
Yeah.
Or go to a different carrier.
Yeah.
And we have that happen a lot. So as an insurance agent, we, you know, there may be, my intention is to write a policy with a particular carrier, and then I'll get to the point of underwriting and they'll say, well, this particular person, we can't take them because of their history.
Right.
And that does come into play. And unfortunately, people sometimes have to pay a higher price because of it.
Right. So, now that makes total sense. Yep. I'm just wondering how that works. I've never been a big person. big on doing riders for jewelry and stuff like that. But I do have clients that have done it. And so, you know, I just was curious because I always watch, you know, Columbo and stuff like that. And and I see people are doing all kinds of insurance, you know.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, I always tell people, look, if you have something that you want to protect specifically, let's schedule it and put it on the home insurance because it's protected. Now, we also have other separate jewelry policies we can write.
Do you have investigators that actually?
I don't.
Okay, I was just curious if, you know, like if something.
The carriers do. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because to me, if something, they do a special schedule on something and it goes missing, it seems like they would want to kind of dig into it a little further that, you know, how did this piece just randomly go missing a month after you put a rider on it?
It's so funny you ask that because a lot of time, like we have a Carrier Jewelers Mutual that we use and people will put a diamond ring on there. Well, one of the things that's covered under that is called mysterious disappearance. And mysterious disappearance can be a lot of things. So, you know, you went to go wash your hands in a bathroom, took off your ring, and you left it there. It's missing. So, you know, there's no theft. There's no burglary in your home.
No.
Right?
Right.
So, you know, you fill out a police report, say it's missing. Somebody took it. And then that gets replaced. But that's on your record. Right?
Right.
So now that theft. So very rarely do you get to do that twice in a row.
I was just going to say, I can't imagine. Fool me once, but fool me twice. No, thank you. You know?
So these carriers charge extra for... any claims on your record, you're paying for that.
Sure.
So you pay a lot higher price for your premium than somebody with clean record.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, when we started, these insurance carriers are for profit.
Yeah.
And they're either going to make money or they're going to leave and they're not going to write business. So they want to write good business. Everybody wants Kimberly Howell.
I don't know about that.
As their client, because, you know, you and Dave do a great job and you have a nice home and you know, and nice cars. But you're the ideal client because, you know,
minus the heavy metal.
Oh,
foot to the pedal.
Yeah.
Speed. Here and there.
But I mean, it's funny to see the different carriers competing over the best clients because that's really what they want. The best clients, which is clients who never file a claim and clients who pay their bills. Bottom line. That's it. Two things. So the clients that they don't want are the clients that have too many claims and sometimes don't pay their bills. So that is just
they have
the way
to file a claim to pay their bills.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's just an economic thing. And, and most carriers,
it's a math equation. Yeah,
they're looking to make money. So, you know, luckily we have a lot of options still. I mean, as a broker, usually if a client comes to me and says, hey, I want a home and auto, I usually can find the best rate for them.
Awesome.
And, you know, believe it or not, and I knock on wood, I mean, most of the time I'm able to save clients a lot of money, maybe thousands of dollars a year.
Yes.
And people come to me and say, you know, in this economy, what you did was very important because, you know, I just couldn't afford the insurance otherwise.
Right.
And now all of a sudden it's more affordable.
Exactly.
The difference in price would amaze you.
Yes.
So going from somebody like State Farm or Allstate or whoever that they have to somebody maybe that we move them to.
Yes.
And I wonder sometimes how do these companies sleep at night because they're overcharging these clients thousands of dollars.
I know. But people don't know.
I've had people cry.
No, I'm not surprised.
They've
cried. Yeah, yeah.
They come to me and say, Gary, you don't understand. You now have caused me to be able to afford my mortgage.
Yes, exactly.
And then when we do an escrow analysis, now my mortgage payment went down $200 a month, whatever
instead
it is.
Instead of going up $1,000.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, no.
So
totally agree.
I mean, it's amazing what we were able to do. And, you know, being a broker gives me a special advantage over what they call captive carriers, which is if you go to a farmer's agent or a State Farm agent, you have one option.
Exactly. Exactly.
I have 38 options.
Right.
So 100%. Generally, we find the best price. So I think that's caused the success of Goosehead because being a broker and having so many options and then, you know, and also having a little bit of relationship with that client.
Yeah.
You know, most of my clients really like the way I work because they know me. They have my phone number. I answer my phone.
Unless
I'm on a podcast.
Yeah.
And I don't.
I'll take responsibility for that.
Kim, it's on silent, I promise. But most of the time I do keep my phone and I answer my phone.
100% you do. Yes. And that's something that I feel like over the years has been invaluable.
Yes.
Because it is so important to me that when somebody, when your hair's on fire, it's mm-hmm. so great because you're going to pick yes. up the phone and you're yeah. going to get back to somebody and you're going to say, hey, this is what I can do, or this is what the solution is. And that way they're not left to flounder for hours and freak out right. and whatnot. Right. So,
and I've always tell clients, look, I work for you. And so, you know, most of the time, if something happens, let's say there's a claim or something happens, you want to call me and let's talk about it. Right.
Right.
And let's
right.
develop a strategy that's best for you.
Right.
Once you call an insurance carrier, you know, they not only they record that conversation, but they document it.
Yes.
So now you've called because there's a water leak, right? And yet you're not going to file a claim because your deductible is X amount.
Exactly.
Well, guess what?
They've already got it. Yes.
They've already
no,
got it.
No, I was just going to. I promise you, you have literally knocked out all the questions I had. I was going to ask you, how important is it that somebody call you first before they place a claim if it's not an emergency situation?
It's
because
important.
I do feel yeah. like that.
Yep.
And
yep.
so what you just talked about,
absolutely.
I feel like is what people need to understand. Don't call the insurance company directly right away. Again, if it's an emergency situation yeah. and there has to be answers, I get that. But for the most part, I feel like calling you first
yep,
is the
yep.
best step because you can advise them on what's the process you should do next. Because if you have something that would be which I did before I knew you, I had a property that I called in because I didn't know. And I thought, oh, we had a hailstorm last night. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to assume I have hail. And I called the insurance company. So then they documented that I had a hail or a water claim,
right?
Which they came out, there was no damage. So it was a water loss, zero payout, but I still had a water loss
yes,
claim
that's right.
on my policy. So for whatever reason, I had that happen twice in that particular house. This is before I knew you.
Yeah.
And so when I went to sell that house, mm-hmm. the buyers, when they went to put insurance on it, they're like,
it was on there.
You have two water claims with zero payout. And I'm like, well, I didn't have a problem. And they're like, yeah, but you called the insurance yeah. company yeah. and they determined nothing happened. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know.
Yes.
And of course, this was like 30 years ago. I mean, this is a long time ago, but I've been doing real estate since dirt. And you would have thought that I would have known, you know, that this was a thing. But at the time, well, I learned on that.
Yes.
You don't just do that because there was a hailstorm.
Right. Right. I mean, look, these carriers share information.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you'd be surprised how much information I can find about a person or their home or everything about their history
right.
Online.
Exactly.
And it's out there on the internet.
Right.
So, you know, when you have a claim, it gets put on a record that all the carriers share. So everybody has access to.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said before, carriers want clients that don't file claims and pay their bills.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, that's all going to affect you.
Yeah.
You know, it's the insurance world is sometimes it's, you know, I've struggled sometimes because I feel guilty because people are paying way too much, but there's only so much I can do. I can tell you this, insurance agents get paid off of a percentage of the commission, a percentage of the premium that's paid.
Okay.
So you have to understand that's their incentive is, you know, if your premium is higher, guess what? They make more money.
Sure.
So,
understood.
So understanding that is important because people, you know, that as an agent necessarily doesn't have any incentive to lower your premium.
Sure.
They're going to make less money.
Exactly.
So,
except if they want the long-term business,
right.
which if they're in it for the long haul, it's just kind
of
like
of
how
course.
It is in the real estate world. If you're in it as a career.
Yeah.
Rather than the fast sale for 5 minutes
yeah.
and then you're
yeah.
out and then you're yeah. not in the business anymore, you know?
Well, I mean, that's the thing is. So it takes energy and time to make changes to your insurance because, as you know, you have to call and cancel your old insurance.
Sure.
You have to send it to your mortgage
sure.
company. It's a process.
It's a lot.
It's
yeah.
a process.
Yeah.
So they count on the fact that it's too hard for you to change.
Right.
And so
right.
they think, well, you're
I've
not
got
gonna
them.
Change.
They're a captive audience.
Now, we also know statistically that when we bundle, people don't change either because now you have to change your auto too and they don't
right.
want to do that. So
right.
It's very interesting. The industry
yeah.
is very interesting. I can tell you that, you know, I've been doing this 10 years. I've learned a lot. I've learned that there are great ways to do the business. I've actually probably made less money because I've I've invested more in my clients that I have.
But that's what makes you a good agent. Yeah.
And people like the fact that they can call me and they know that they can get
advice.
You're
going to answer. Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. No. Well, I can speak wholeheartedly from just my personal experience. Mm-hmm. You're awesome at what you do.
Thank you.
Looking forward to hopefully our audience thinking so as well and utilizing your services.
Well, thank you so much.
I appreciate you so much for being on this portion of the mm-hmm. podcast. And now we're going to start the next part. The next part.
And we get another shot?
Yes. Actually, we actually may need to do another shot.
No more, Kim. No more.
I may call you on that. So, and you're going to grab the paddle. And are we going to do another shot, guys? What are we doing? Are we doing another shot? Come on, guys. No, I've got Katie. Katie's saying no. Matt. Come on, Matt, a little bit. Like, can we do it? Can we do like a, we're going to do a baby shot. We're going to do like a baby shot. So I'm going to, we're going to be doing this on camera. So you guys are going to have to help me a little bit with your glasses. So I can, Gary, if you'll, thank you. And those of you that don't know, we actually give these toast glasses, these Feral, I'm going to do just a half.
That's fine.
Who else? Come on. Thank you. Nobody knows who handed me a glass, but it was Matt. I'm gonna out everybody. It's just a little half. Okay. Katie's not gonna participate. She's gonna be just, oh, you know what? Oh my gosh, this is a celebration. We're gonna have to show this actually happening.
We finished the bottle.
This is truly, it is empty. So we are going to do this, and then we will retire this bottle of Grand Patron. So I will have to give a shout out to Total Wine over there at La Cantera Parkway and Vance Jackson. You're going to have to order some more Platinum Patron because we are running low. So anyway, cheers, everybody. The second one always goes down a little better than the first. I'm just saying. I guess it's a cumulative effect. Okay, so we are now fully into the Feral or Fabulous portion of the podcast. So I am going to hit you with several things, and I'm going to be curious to see what you say about them. Okay, and there was a reason for me asking you this. Barbecuing.
Oh, fabulous.
Okay, awesome. I wasn't sure if the insurance guy was going to be pro or against barbecuing just because I figured that some house fires have been started by barbecuing. Yeah, that was my thinking.
As long as the barbecue is away from the house, I'm good.
You want it out in the yard.
Yes.
You want it away from the overhead structure, mm-hmm. right? So do people actually, have you had claims?
Oh, yeah.
I figured.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fires, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yep. but you're a fan. You like to barbecue and
I
you
do.
Enjoy a good
I
barbecue.
I like to barbecue, yeah. I like to eat in general.
Okay, so now we're talking my language because I like to eat as well, and it can be barbecued or not barbecued or any, pretty much any food is, luckily, Matt and I both share that same passion for, we're both foodies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of the trips that we make are based purely on what's the food?
Yeah.
What's the food involved, you know? So, okay. Brussels sprouts.
Ugh.
Okay. Feral.
It's just...
People are usually like either they love them, like I love Brussels sprouts, but they usually either love them or they hate them.
Well, when I go to a restaurant and they have Brussels sprouts as an appetizer, I also notice they always have mozzarella sticks. And that's... I'm usually going for the mozzarella sticks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, well, if you gave me a choice, I'm going for the sticks.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
I have referred to myself as a block of cheese on many occasions. So, so I do understand the whole mozzarella stick thing. So, okay. I do love some Brussels sprouts, but I understand not everybody is a fan. So, okay. Sailing.
Sailing?
Yeah. I want to hear the insurance guy's take on sailing.
I think it's fabulous because I also do boat insurance.
Oh,
and
okay. Well, there you go.
Yes.
Okay,
and
see, we didn't even talk about that in the other part.
And
so
boat insurance it's very easy to write, and it's usually a good business for us. So
okay. I love it. Yep. I did not know that. Absolutely. I've learned something today.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. Well, you know, I'm not a big sailing fan, but I will tell you, I have this vision in my head. I don't know if you ever saw Top Gun Maverick, the second movie.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, there's a scene where she and Maverick are, you know, his girlfriend Penny, Benjamin. I just random, you know, piece of information. Anyway, they're sailing on the water, and I just find that so incredibly, like, beautiful and, mm-hmm. like, enticing. But other than that, in a movie, the actual idea of being on the water and sailing, and I love the water, I love the ocean, but sailing on the ocean makes me a little nervous.
Oh, yeah, so. I am too. I don't know about...
But you're all about writing a policy on it maybe experiencing it as well.
Yes. Okay. I know that there's insurance that I can write on.
Okay.
On boats.
I love it. Yeah. Okay. Well, hopefully, if you guys are sailors, you need to call Gary. So we will definitely, we'll make sure you have that information shortly. Okay. Chewing gum.
Chewing gum.
Yeah.
I think it's fabulous because I'm a fan of nice smelling breath.
Okay. All right. Good point.
The opposite is just not appetizing.
No, that's a great point, you know. But you know, I've also heard that tequila actually can be very good for your breath as well. It's very medicinal, mm-hmm. and I think in several ways. So maybe they would have even at some point a gum that's like a tequila gum. I don't know. Maybe we just thought of something that somebody can produce. I don't know. So that would work for the podcast. Okay, fireworks.
Oh no, feral.
Okay.
Fireworks are dangerous. Very dangerous.
Yes, they are.
I've had claims.
And I love to look at them on the TV. But
if they're professionally done, that's fine. But people who shoot them off in neighborhoods, it's a dangerous thing. I've seen fires happen on tops of roofs.
Yes.
You know, and also people get hurt when they are handling fireworks. So I would say generally that's not something I would encourage.
Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. And you know, it's so funny. If you think about most of these that I'm asking you, I thought of them just because I thought I would be interested to know what an insurance person's take on these items were. And so fireworks can be fun and pretty to look at, but very dangerous potentially to operate, right?
Yeah.
Especially if it's not professionally done.
It's kind of like dogs to me. I'm a big dog guy. I love dogs. I have a dog and
me too.
I love dogs. But
and I have a Doberman, so we have the aggressive breed, even though she's, Dobermans super friendly.
Aren't that bad.
No, she's so friendly. She would say, come on in. Yeah. Here's where the jewelry is. Let me show you where, get me some blueberries out of the freezer. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, no, she'd be escorting you around the property.
Yeah. Yeah. Dogs are can be a liability issue on certain breeds. So as an insurance agent, it's one of the things that we struggle with because if you have a pit bull, for example.
Yes.
Or a Rottweiler.
Sure.
Then there are a lot of carriers that won't accept it.
Understand.
And so we have to overcome that. We have carriers that do, but we need to know about that.
Yeah.
So,
no, understood. Yeah. Like I said, we have a Doberman that is like literally she will lick you to death, but she has no, I mean, literally people that she doesn't know come in the house. She's like, hello.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like Lacey's a special girl. So I do understand what you're saying though. I know dogs can be an issue as well, depending on, you know, the situation. Okay. Last one, stand-up comedy.
I would say fabulous because I like to laugh.
Me too.
I like to laugh.
Me too. I love it as well. I was just curious because I feel like insurance is a serious business and I was curious if you like to laugh.
I do. I mean, I like stand-up comedy and especially when it's, you know, live.
Yes.
I
me
like
too.
It.
Yeah. Me too. Who's a stand-up comedian that you like?
Ooh, I like Maniscalco. Sebastian.
Yes.
Sebastian
yes.
Maniscalco. So he is just, he's clean.
Yes.
He's pretty clean.
Yes.
And he also talks about things with the family and things that I relate to.
Right.
I'm originally from New York. I'm Italian. And so
who knew?
I grew up in an Italian neighborhood and not Italian family. And so when Sebastian talks, I'm like, wait a minute, that sounds like my family.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds.
I love it.
I like
no,
that.
No.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I like
that. Well, to finish on that last part is since you are Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your favorite Italian place to eat in San Antonio?
Oh,
I'm curious
gosh.
About that.
I've tried a lot of places and, you know, I always like Paisanos.
Yeah. I love Paisanos too.
I like Paisanos. I mean, you can't go wrong at Paisanos. I mean, I I hate to say it. I stay away from Olive Garden.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Amen to that. No, I'm with you 100%. No, I literally broke a tooth on a breadstick at Olive Garden, I think, this years ago. I'm just like, no, thank you. You know, had too much plastic in it. So
there's a couple. There's a pizza place in Stone Oak called Trilogy.
Oh, yeah. You familiar? I love it. Oh, absolutely. Because you have California style, Chicago style, and New York style.
Yes.
And no, it's amazing.
Right. I like
Trilogy. You know, I'm a Stone Oaker. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, if I'm in Stone Oak area, that's where I'll go. But I mean, Italian, I'm open to, my wife always teases me. She says that, you know, preference is Italian most of the time. But It's what I grew up with.
I'm going to turn you, and I love Paisanos. Don't get me wrong. I've loved Paisanos. I grew up in San Antonio, so I've been going to Paisanos
for years.
Long time. But I've gotten turned on to a place that I really like called Renzo's.
Oh, I've heard of it.
Renzo's is in the parking lot of Living Spaces over there off of the access road of Northwest. Yeah, 1604 and Northwest Military. And they have a cacio e pepe that is crack. It is so yummy, so delicious.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, they have a lemon drop that is pretty fantastic as well. So anyway, just going to throw that out
there. I'll have to visit that. I've heard of it. I've heard people tell me about it. Yeah.
Yes. No, since you're Italian, I think you should try it out and check it out.
It turns out I'm a foodie too. I know you said you're a foodie. I'm a foodie. I like restaurants. I like different foods.
Me too.
You know, I'm not a big Brussels sprout guy.
No, I understand. But, I understand. You
know, when it's Italian, I'm usually there.
What's your favorite food then?
I mean, probably Italian food. Yeah. I mean, pasta. Yeah. I mean, I'm, you know, the shrimp paisano, I get sometimes.
Oh, shrimp paisano. I will go there just for shrimp paisano.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's fabulous.
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah. I mean, and you can't finish it.
I know.
You can't finish it. I don't know who you are. You can't finish it because it's just too rich.
No. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to lie. I agree with you in theory, but I have finished it before because I unfortunately have a high tolerance for high fat and high caloric foods. Yeah. I don't know why.
I've been going to Roadhouse lately.
Really?
The Roadhouse. Yeah. To Texas Roadhouse.
Yes. They have the peanuts?
They have peanuts, but their steaks.
I like peanuts.
Their steaks are really good.
Really?
I mean, I've been going there for, you know, steak, potato, stuff like that. It's my go-to. The one on 281 and 1604. Or up by Hollywood Park.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're talking about.
I usually go there. I mean, it's usually pretty good. So
I will tell you, I have been there, but I don't think I've ever had a steak there. I know that sounds crazy because I know that's what they have.
Yeah,
but wow, I'll have to
try it. Well, my wife gets the salmon or the chicken, but I usually get the filet or the sirloin. And, I mean, it's great.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll have to put that on our list. Well, thank you so much for participating in Feral or Fabulous.
Absolutely.
And we look forward to seeing you guys next time on Feral and Fabulous. Bye.